Welcome to Torat Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Shmuel Bet, Perek Yud Aleph, Chapter 11. In the last chapter, we learned about an incident in which David mistakenly thought that a personal gesture would not have national significance. In today's chapter, we will see a similar misjudgment, one that is perhaps a better-known story, but less easily understood. Let's begin. Pasuk Aleph. Vayhi l'tshuvat hashana le'et tzeit hamlachim. Vayishlach David et Yoav ve'et avadav imo ve'et kol Yisrael. Vayashchitu et bnei Amon vayatsuru al rabba ve'David yoshev b'Yerushalayim. The following year, in the season when kings go out to war, Chazal identify this as the month of Sivan, when the grain is plentiful in the fields to feed the animals, and it's neither too cold and rainy nor too hot. Perfect time to go out, camp in the fields, and battle. David sent Yoav and his elite unit and all of Israel, and they defeated Ammon and laid siege to its capital city, Rabbah, while David remained in Yerushalayim. In the evening, David arose from his resting place and went for a stroll upon the roof of the palace. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. David sent to find out who she was, and was told that she was Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, wife of Uriah Hachiti. David sent messengers, and he took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. The pasuk clarifies, "V'hi mitkadeshet mitumata." When David had caught sight of her bathing, she was in the process of cleansing herself from her impurity. This makes clear that she was in a state of ritual purity when he was with her, and that she was not pregnant at the time. After they were intimate, she returned to her home. The woman became pregnant, and she sent a message to David to inform him. David sent a message to Yoav, "Send Uriah Hachiti to me," and Yoav sent Uriah to David. It's important to note here the frequent recurrence of the verb shalach, shin lamed chet, to send. David sends messengers to inquire about Bathsheba and to have her brought to him. Bathsheba sends a message informing him of her pregnancy, and David again sends to Yoav, and Uriah is sent to David. There's no attempt at secrecy. There's no sense of an indiscretion, of something that has to be concealed. Numerous people are aware of the liaison between David and Bathsheba. The text itself tells us that the relationship was not forbidden due to any question of impurity, but we may still wonder, how could David have sent for her after being told that she's a married woman? It's important to note that he doesn't send for her until after he knows exactly who she is. Chazal explained that every man who went to war at that time wrote a decree of divorce from his wife, which would go into effect retroactively if he were not to return from the battlefield. David is told that Bathsheba is the daughter of Eliam. We know that Eliam is the son of David's close advisor, Achitophel, who was the one who instituted the practice of this retroactive divorce in order to prevent agunot, women who are prohibited from marrying again if their husband disappears without clear evidence of death. Certainly, he would have made sure that his own granddaughter would not be left in such a position. Therefore, David was assured that she was in possession of such a divorce and not halachically a married woman. The Zohar goes even further. According to the Zohar, the Satan, the prosecuting angel, came before Hashem and wanted to incriminate David for sleeping with Bathsheba. Hashem refused to admit the argument, saying that Bathsheba had been designated for David from the time of creation. The Satan, not willing to give up so easily, argued that may be so, but that had not been revealed to David himself, so he is still guilty. Hashem argued back that A, Bathsheba was in possession of a divorce decree, and B, her marriage to Uriah had never been consummated, thus she is not really married, which would also explain why there was no question as to the paternity of the child. Ultimately, the Gemara states unequivocally that anyone who suggests that David sinned by committing adultery is entirely mistaken, either because Bathsheba was technically divorced or because Bathsheba was designated to be David's wife from the time of creation. David's only misstep here is that he was impatient Upon hearing who she was, he realized with his Ruach HaKodesh, through divine inspiration, that she was intended to be his wife. But rather than waiting for the appropriate opportunity to arise, he seized the moment and sent for her, taking her before the designated time. Upon hearing of Bathsheba's pregnancy, David immediately sent for Uriah. Upon Uriah's arrival, David questioned him as to the welfare of Yoav and the nation, and for news of the battle. David said to Uriah, in Pasuk Chet, verse 8, Vayomer David l'Uriah, Reid leveitcha urcha tzraglecha, Vayetze Uriah mibeit hamelech, Bateitze acharav mas'at hamelech. Go down to your house and wash your feet, which is a euphemism for intimacy. When a man returns from war, he is halachically obligated l'sameach et ishto, to make his wife happy through intimacy. Uriah left the palace and the royal provisions were sent out after him. Pasuk Tet, Vayishkav Uriah petach beit hamelech et kol avdei Adonav v'lo yarad el beito. Rather than going home, Uriah went to the entry hall of the palace where the servants slept, and he slept there among them. When they told David that Uriah had not gone to his home as directed, David questioned Uriah, saying, Haven't you returned from a long journey? Why have you not gone down to your home? Vayomir Uriah el David, Ha'aron v'Yisrael v'Yehuda yoshvim basukot, v'Adoni Yoav v'Avdei Adoni al pnei hasadechonim, v'ani avo el beiti le'chol v'lishtot v'lishkav im ishti, chayecha v'chei nafshecha im e'eset hadavar hazeh. Uriah responded, The Aron and all of Yisrael and Yehuda are in temporary dwellings, and my master Yoav and the servants of my master are camped in the open field, and I should go home and eat and drink and sleep with my wife? By your life, I would never do such a thing. Chazal identifies several problems with Uriah's behavior and with his remarks. First of all, he flouted David's direct instruction to go home to his wife. Moreover, he did so openly in the face of all the palace servants. And finally, adding insult to injury, he called Yoav his master while standing before David, insinuating that Yoav's honor is of greater concern to him than that of the king himself. This is considered to be rebellious behavior, classifying Uriah as a Moreid b'malchut, one who rebels against the authority of the king, and he is therefore worthy of being condemned to death. David, however, is not ready to give up on his attempt to pass the child off as Uriah's. This attempt is difficult to understand. Malbim explains that David realized at this point that his behavior toward Bathsheba might be misconstrued, and that public opinion might turn against him in the matter and lead to a chilul Hashem, desecration of the name of God, as well as a rebellion against his kingship. To prevent these catastrophes, he was willing to accept upon himself the sin of adultery, which it would retroactively have become should Uriah have gone home to his wife and consummated the marriage. David instructs Uriah to remain in Yerushalayim until the next day, and Uriah remained all that day and the next. David summoned him, and he ate and drank in his presence, but once again he went down and slept among the servants and did not go down to his house. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Yoav, which he sent with Uriah. In the letter, he wrote, Send Uriah to the front lines where the battle is most fierce, and then retreat from behind him so that he will be struck and killed. And when Yoav was guarding the city, he assigned Uriah to the place where he knew there would be valiant warriors, and the people of the city came out and fought Yoav, and several of David's troops were killed, among them Uriah Hachiti. Yoav sent a message to David to apprise him of the details of the battle. He instructed the messenger, saying, When you finish telling the king the details of the battle, if he becomes angry, saying, Why did you approach the city to fight? Didn't you realize that they would shoot from the wall? Don't you remember that Avimelech, the son of Yerubosheth, Gid'on, was killed by a woman who threw a millstone over the wall? Why would you approach the wall of the city? Just respond by saying, Uriah Hachiti also died in the battle. This message bears an implied rebuke to David HaMelech. While Yoav did follow David's instruction to place Uriah in the line of fire, it's clear from the tone of this instruction that he did so against his own inclination. Left to his own devices, Yoav would not have chosen to attack the well-fortified wall of the city. which he knew from experience would leave them vulnerable. The implication is that although he knew well that he was endangering his men, and that this attack would result, as it did, in the deaths of several of his best soldiers, he had no choice but to follow David's directive, and that David could have no complaint against him that men had died due to his strategy, because he did it in order to achieve the result desired by David himself. The messenger went, and he came and relayed to David the message that Yoav had sent with him. Nevertheless, we shall see that he slightly modified the details of the message. In Pasuk Chaf Gimel, verse 23, Vayomer hamalach el David, ki gavru aleinu ha'anashim, vayetzu aleinu ha'sadeh, vanihiye aleihem ad petach ha'sha'ar. The messenger said to David, "The Ammonite soldiers were fighting very strongly against us. They had come out to attack us in the open field, and yet we pursued them back to the gate of the city. And when we came close to the wall, they shot arrows at us from above, and several of the king's men were killed, among them your servant Uriah Hachiti." Apparently, the messenger reasoned to himself that Yoav's abridged account was designed to provoke the king's anger, and he, not privy to Yoav's private thoughts, modified the message so as to avoid provoking the king and providing the explanation that Yoav had omitted, and including the addendum about Uriah's death in the body of the message. David responded, Vayomer David el hamalach, Ko tomar el Yoav, Al yira be'inecha et hadavar hazeh, Ki chazo v'chaze tochal hecharev, hachazek milchamtecha el ha'ir, v'harsa v'chazkehu. Go tell Yoav not to be upset about this setback. It's inevitable that in the course of a war some people will be consumed by the sword. Strengthen your battle against the city and destroy it. Meaning, don't prolong the siege, mount a strong offense against the city. V'chazkehu, and David exhorts the messenger to strengthen Yoav, offer him encouragement to return to battle full strength. Pasuk Chavav, verse 26, Vatishma eshet Uriah, ki met Uriah isha, vatispod al ba'ala. The wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, had died in battle, and she mourned for her husband. We note here that Bathsheba is not mentioned by name in her own right, and that there are two different Hebrew terms used for the word husband in this one short pasuk. Malbim explains that the term ish represents the intimate, loving relationship between a man and his wife, and the term ba'al is an expression of ownership, the husband lording over his wife. Thus, when the pasuk speaks here in the narrative voice, Bathsheba hears of the death of her husband, isha, since that was how the marriage appeared to people on the outside. But Bathsheba's personal mourning is described otherwise. Vatispod al ba'ala. Her eulogy was for her lord and master, because that's how she experienced the relationship. The Alshich HaKadosh cites an obscure midrash that teaches that Bathsheba was a trophy wife for Uriah. Uriah was a convert to Judaism who helped David in battle against the Plishtim and was rewarded by having his request for a Jewish wife granted to him. It seems he wanted this wife as a way of cementing his status in Jewish society, and particularly in David's army, but that he was not really interested in a meaningful, intimate relationship. And this midrash complements the Zohar's teaching that the marriage had never been consummated, and helps us understand Uriah's reluctance to go home as David had commanded, and Bathsheba's willingness to come to David when he sent for her. We note that she is not taken forcibly, not Vatukach ha'isha, as in the case of Sarah by Paro, or Esther by Achashverosh. But Vatavo elav, she came to him when she was sent for. When the mourning period for Uriah had passed, David sent and gathered Bathsheba into his house, and she became his wife and gave birth to a son to him. And the thing that he had done was bad in the eyes of Hashem. This concluding verse sets the stage for the coming perek, in which we will attempt to understand what thing in particular is the davar asher asah, the thing which he had done that was bad in the eyes of Hashem. David did many things throughout this perek, all of which can be explained in context. What exactly was it that was bad in the eyes of Hashem? Stay tuned for the next chapter. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.